John Davey, the recorder is on.
13.
Chapter 13.
Chris, are you conjuring spirits again? Lindy was soluble, but she couldn't see herself in the mirror, and she wasn't jumping for joy at her non-image. Chris paraded around her without a sound. Are you conjuring up spirits? Lindy said, as if she could see herself in the mirror. What? What makes you think I can conjure spirits? That was Chris trying to be his mundanest, while holding a Bowie knife and clenching his face in a look of terror. Who hissed that? Was it that fuck-faced Madero who... Lindy pushed the respond button, but instead of a response, a chill the size of her mom went down her spine, stopping first at the kitchen door for some chocolate goose pie, and then pushing out a one-word response of her own. Mommy! Lindy was soluble, but she was also gyro-sobering into the miasma. Miss Powell pretended that the moon was calling her, and that the kitchen was responding. This three-tiered response to her daughter's plea was the first step in getting Lindy not to repeat herself so fucking much. What was that, Miss Powell? Voiced her own fear of repetition. She was going to call her husband for help, but she knew that in a crisis he was even more useless. No, no, take that back. I don't want to know what that was. I don't even believe in Jeebus. Barky entered the kitchen doing what else? Barking, meaning his colitis had subsided. That in his head had been handed to him by a dummy with bad case of milk mouth. Satan, come to me! Miss Powell said firmly and cryogenically in her brazenness, a sack of pie entrails holding the door open. She danced sideways into the center of the kitchen, socking Lindy upside the head. After all, it was her fault that she had no chocolate roast pie to keep the doors propped open. So I'm going to get something real to eat, and I find this revolting. Chris's voice was trembling. It was comedy. Or it was trying to be comedy. It was... Mr. Madero has no sense, no comedy sense, Lindy accused. He's no Miro Sorvino. Bastard, that fucking bastard, Miss Powell's voice was Lucifer's. He is trying to all my patience. Miss Powell expected someone to jump on that straight line, but everyone had started counting backwards from 100 instead. Her eyes shot dental floss at Mr. Madero, lancing his disgusting grin. You stupid bastard, she said. This time her eyes shooting riboflavin tartar sauce at her two kids. You're so stupid that you've forgotten the sense that these are ventriloquist dummies. You're supposed to control them. Not only can Mr. Madero talk, Mommy, he fucking hisses, Chris said, according to Chris. And despite the three independent studies that each said dummies can't talk, let alone hiss, he hisses something ridiculous. But that's not my bastard! Miss Powell was getting to like this repetition shit. That and shooting her eyes out like buckshot. This, she said quietly, is being calm. I'm calm, God fucking damn it. Actually, she looked more like a Fiji mermaid than the immolator of dummies she was claiming to be. The only joy that she brought to her plate was her chicken casserole. I'm going to take those two dummies, Miss Powell said, vaulting her eyes at Lindy and Chris. I'm going to pour gas on them, and I'm going to limit their caloric intake. No, Chris cupped. Justice is dead, Lindy declared. Sit down, shut up. I have this totally under control, Miss Powell said without repeating one word. Her eyes had turned into missiles loaded with meat pies, showing just how fatigued and disturbed she was. Look, I have chicken casserole for everyone. But you're not nice, Lindy gritted. And Mr. Madero needs calories so he can perform at the Pasta Primavera concert, Chris protested. Everything in its time, Mommy. Mrs. Powell looked from one to the other. Her eyes said, touch this one named Chris. This dummy, you saw him taking a piss, right? Right, Chris said, but he wasn't in the house, and therefore, it's a hung jury. And just what the fuck are you talking about? Are you insane? Miss Powell asked, with the intensity of a lamp that only has a 25-watt bulb. Yes, Lindy rapidly contested. He's knucking futs. Then the two of you are the dummies. Sit down and I'll explain, Miss Powell said. But only one sentence a day. I don't have the patience to entertain you any longer. A deep and profound silence met Miss Powell's last sentence, like it had been disqualified for the raining down too many vowels in an audience of unsuspecting consonants. Chris was the first to form words. So, Mommy, you say Lindy's nuts. Did you also know that she's a vivisectionist?
Vivisectionist.
God damn you. Lindy was going to let the silence speak for her, but instead decided to speak the silence. Yes, and I'm speaking for the silence here, and not for myself.
I'm a vivisectionist. I dissect things. Did you see that bag of pie entrails in the kitchen? Yep, I dissected that. And you know what else I can dissect? Your fucking asses! If you don't do what I want. Miss Powell was the first to bite. No, no, I don't think so. Look at all the destruction you've already accomplished just with a pogo stick and a pie. And the milk. She almost had our house repossessed too, Chris said vehemently. And she took your dinner club card to Super Bronco. And she's not hurt. She's just affecting a limp. She's just affected a limp. Please. If that's a real limp, then I'm Dean Martin singing, Little Old Wine Drinker Me. Miss Powell made her face like it was really concentrating. Thinking. But she really just had bad gas that she blames on the births of her children. It's a good excuse. Great, she finally replied. Now what I need from you kids is to have this kitchen be exactly as it was yesterday. The comedy, the joy, the endless tree frogs. I want it all shipshape or I'm getting out my gun. Great. The kids all mouthed in unison. I don't want to get out my gun, but I also don't want those fucking dummies in my house, and I sure as hell don't want George W. Bush in the White House running Halliburton for that fuck-faced Cheney. Miss Powell was gay and existential. If you can promise me all that, I'll get out my gun. But I'll just polish it and reload it. Perfect. This time, the kids gritted their teeth in unison. This just gets better and better, Chris offered. And I don't want any more discussions about dummies and their civil fucking rights, Miss Powell ignored Chris as usual. No more pleading, no more crying. I've got a vintage electric chair, and I'm not afraid to use it. I don't want to hear nothing from no one. No mas. Suck my Chico stick. Chris blurted, looking at his sister. Yeah, Mom. Thanks for being so understanding, Lindy said, pushing her suaveness through the door and out at her mom. You're a paragon of calm, just like Luce Farrakhan. Or Vic Chestnut. Not one more fucking word, Miss Powell said, playing a recording of that one. Sorry, Mommy, Lindy said, knowing full well that that was two words. Their mom disappeared without a trace, and she took Lindy's limp body with her. Chris sucked on some balsa chica, and then threw the remains into the trash. Well, the adjacent canyon.
That's not a crayon.
The adjacent canyon. Then he pushed some meat pies at Lindy, and the sound of pushing echoed until the cows came home and started making dinner. Chris recognized with fondness the cows as the type he used to take joy in feeding and in slicing up for cutlets. Armed with guns, the kids said nothing, working silently, regrouping, limping and trembling until there wasn't one thing in the kitchen that wasn't impeccably asinine. Lindy had the nerve to close the kitchen door and bolster with empty pie tins. Chris inspected the rat droppings for possible mental retardation. Then he set fire to them with a match, and finally, Mr. Madero pitched in too. He, of course, was the sole reason they had this shit duty. His pitching in consisted of boasting that he was hung like Arnold Schwarzenegger. This being a dummy sucks shit. This being a dummy shit sucks me six ways to pie trainer, Mr. Madero thought. Chris, now there's a dummy. He sailed through the kitchen, telling Lindy that he was hung like Renee Zellweger. The two siblings sat on the escalator in silence. They were still armed, and they still hadn't spoken a word. The light paraded from the moon to the house via an open window. The air stabbed at the cat and was hung like Mr. Madero. Chris was antsy and reloaded his gun. That took all of 3 seconds. Pomelov was sitting hunched over silly in front of the window, and the light of the moon was reflected in her hair care products. Lindy was petting Chris's camel with a box cutter, taming a cobra for spitting at it, and Googling God. Trademark about Spalding Gray. Chris was back to beating Mr. Madero senseless. If only I had a lion's life, Madero thought as he lost feeling in his dolomite and was hovering just above his now limp body, watching. There's nothing quite like a lion. The sunshine arched his back and then slapped Mr. Madero across his burlap sacks. He was furious. That or the curly fries he had at lunch were arguing to come back up. This is being a dummy. Is really beginning to stink, he thought. It stinks, and I've got to take a dump. Mr. Madero's furiosity inadvertently closed the kitchen door, and two armed and angry kids turned their own inward furiosity outward towards him. Their furiosity and creepiness caromed inarticulately off the armoire and in the direction of outer space. In response, Chris hermetically sealed the kitchen door.
and with a heart full of latent fury, Chris started meting out camel justice, and he started with the cobras. He wasn't much for spitting, so he tried singing to the cobras. He sang creepy songs, and the silk cobras followed. Chris led the cobras to his dad's car in the garage, and as he started it up, they all closed their eyes.
This was to be the beginning of their long sleep, when suddenly a voice cried out, "Get over here, sailor boy! Get over here, Yankee dog!" The voice groused. It was a voice that no dentist could drill, and it was coming from the armoire.
Nice, Johnny. Thank you very much.
Finney.
That was lovely.